Hi, Movie Breakers, it's me again, Lida, and I'm at Cannes, as you all know, and this time not directly at the film festival itself, but at the Semandala Critique, the Critics Week, which runs parallel to Cannes and is linked to it in a very weird way, which we are not exploring now because we have something much more interesting to do. I'm here with Lila Halla. Hello.
Hi.
And she did an amazing debut feature, which I could already see. It's called Power Alley. So it's about Brazil and its very tough anti-abortion rights. Would you like to tell how you came up with this story, which is set in the sports world?
It's set in the sports world because the body is a very important topic, and the fact that her future career was at stake with the unwanted pregnancy, but also volleyball, because it is a team sport. It's based in strategies that you organize together, it needs a group of people, it needs a collective strategy. And also, at the very beginning of the story, like if you look to a volleyball court from above, it's this two sides divided by a kind of a frontier, and this is also the heart of the story, the Brazil-Uruguay issue. So many different reasons brought us to volleyball, but mainly because of these needs, as Power Alley, the title says, or Levante in Brazilian, it's about this group strategy to go through a challenge.
And the main character, a young aspiring volleyball player who is unwantedly pregnant and gets great support from her team, also faces a lot of legal threats because you can actually be punished by jail in Brazil and also in the US, by the way. Was it tough to approach that subject in a country and to shoot that movie in a country where you're basically advocating for something to be legal, which is considered a crime?
Of course, it takes a risk and a responsibility to make a political story. We started, like, this film has... It's almost like a historical document of the time we've been through in those 7 years of the film process. So during the Bolsonaro period, the team was extremely persecuted and it still is. We knew we were speaking about a very difficult subject, but this is also why we're making the film. I'm not gonna say it's not full of risks, but it's the reason why we're doing it. So we haven't released the film in Brazil. We know it's gonna be very polemic, but in the film, as much as there is persecution and judgment and invasion of her privacy, there is also bonds, support, and organized strategies in Brazil. And this film is inspired based in so many of them. So it is the most difficult moment for this topic in Brazil, but it's at the same time, for this precise reason, the moment to do it.
Are you worried about the public reception, because the evangelical right is still very strong in Brazil, as is my impression from an outsider's perspective? Of course,
it's not still, it's growing.
Yeah, it's even growing.
It's growing. And I am not afraid of the repercussion. I am excited to raise the debate. We're gonna have allies and we're gonna have critics. This is what the film is for.
The story is based in true accounts of several women that you researched into their life stories. Would you like to explain and expand on that? How you came across them? How did you find them?
We took me and Maria, the co-writer to the story. We've been making interviews. We've been many different. The research has many different confluences, but we did interview many people. But also, in the moment you start making a film about this, you also open doors to other people to come and tell them their story as well. So even people in the team, people in the crew, people in the cast, everyone has something to say about this topic. So at the same time that we were doing a story about that, we were also creating some kind of collective diary about the topic in Brazil. So this was very hard, but it was also very, very beautiful to see this film become this patchwork of different memories, and to become an answer also to this political situation, because the film is not only a critic to the situation, it's also a plan of action. And I do believe that abortion is not a topic you should deal with individually, because it is such a social impact that the society has such an impact in this individuality that it needs also the solutions to this, the plan of action, so to say. And there comes the volleyball again, or needs also to be not lonely but organized.
In the movie, as you talk about the strategies to get access to abortions, the young character tries to travel to Uruguay, where abortion is actually legal. As also in Europe, when abortion was outlawed in Ireland, many women who could afford it would travel to the UK to have their abortion, or in certain parts of Europe, people then travel to Switzerland or to Germany to access abortions, which, for example, are also not legal in Poland and so on. So is that something that happens a lot, that the rich can just get to Uruguay and buy an abortion and poor people cannot?
No, you can't buy an abortion being Brazilian and being in and going to Uruguay. You cannot do that.
So it's really just if you are a citizen.
Yeah.
And is it easier for rich people to access, let's say, black market abortion clinics that are reliable? And is it just a problem of the underclass, or is it also very hard for the rich ones?
It's illegal for the rich ones, but it's not hard. There is then access, as we say in the film, it is about money. It's still illegal, it's still risky, but it has nothing to compare with. So it is an issue that is, in Brazil, clandestine abortions are the fourth biggest cause of death of women. And of course, most of them are not rich, most of them are not white, most of them are not even medium class. So it's mothers from other kids, it's working class, and it's a huge genocide, really.
It was for me one of the most interesting and laudable aspects of the movie that you point out that class aspect of medical access and especially abortion access, since it's also a way of keeping the poor poor, that you're forced to have more and more kids so you cannot work on your education, you cannot earn so much money, you are forced into impoverishment and it strengthens class hierarchies. But let's also talk about the actress. Like, I was really amazed by the actress, especially since you, and you work a lot with also lay people, like only part are professional, as I understand.
Yes, it's mixed, but Ayomi, the protagonist, has 10 years of experience, even though she just turned 24 yesterday.
She's very young.
She also just finished her grad studies in theater, and she's participated in, she's taken smaller roles before. It's her first protagonist, but she was so ready for it. She's incredible, and I'm very happy that we had the chance to work together.
Is there a difference in the younger generation? Was it easy to find a young actress who's ready to play a role? Or were there also a lot of young conservatives who were like, I'm not gonna play that part?
It's a little bit of the opposite. It's not, when you're working with such a topic, you need to create some kind of safe space of work. So it would be impossible even to invite people who aren't ready for this discussion to be part. Like, it's more than being the protagonist of a film is already huge, especially at that age, but at any age, but at that age even more. But working with such a political topic in the contemporary Brazil is also not for everyone. It takes so much emotional maturity, political maturity, the casting process took 2 years, and we arrived at this team knowing that it was them. We didn't even know who was playing what at first, but we knew this was our group. And we started the process of rehearsing already knowing that they're the group. We still don't know who's playing what. So things developed over the first rehearsal week. The roles got assigned at the end of that week. And from then on, we also worked a lot on improvisation to, like, I brought the script back into treatment so that we could rehearse having their own material, their own voices, their own ideas being brought into this scenes, and then I would rewrite the scenes. So it was also a process of having them not only act in an original idea, but be part of this creation. And it takes people who have a lot to say, as they do, and for that reason also, it's not for everyone. It's for a group like the one we have, a very strong group who has a lot to say, and the film can become a channel in this sense as well. So it's an encounter between the scripts, it's an encounter also of this political moment Brazil is going through, but this confluence of people who needs space to exist.
What do you hope to take away from the presence at the Semaine de la Critique?
I think one thing that is already incredible is having worked on this project for 7 years, premiering it as a Mandela critique is incredible. It's the it's the concluding this enormous work at Semen is already so rewarding. I am very excited that we managed to bring the whole team. Everyone is here from the volleyball team, and having them present for this premiere is absolutely incredible. I'm very excited that they're gonna see the film for the first time here in Cannes. And Semen is a huge supporter of the film from the beginning, because my short film was also at Semen. Being with the short film here, I had the chance of bringing this script into the scripts program of Semen, which is the Next Step program. So I think it is the conclusion of process of construction in which Semen has been very much part of. So it's super exciting.
And is there already a plans for a cinematic release in Europe, maybe also?
We will definitely have a cinematic release after the festival period. We have distributors and sales working for that already on board. We still don't have the dates because we still need to do the festivals. We're only starting, but it will definitely come to the cinemas.
In the end of the movie, you make a very clear political message. Was that always there, or did you bring it in at some point because you saw it has to be a bit more radicalized?
You mean the wall?
Exactly, yeah. It's a very specific scene in the end.
Yeah. The walls speak all the time in this film. It marks the times of the elections, and this is actually a documentary moment. That graffiti, elections now, wasn't done by us. It's there is the whole God is good, good is God, are all real material from São Paulo, so walls speak. There is this narrative combat almost in printed in the city. And we were working with that, of course, with the invasion of her house and how her life is threatened with this religious sentence in her wall. And I knew that we had to somehow rewrite this. So the film is about the possibility of rewriting your own history, and I think it is a materialization of a radical thought, but this thought is throughout the film all the time. It's a little blink in the end, but it's, for me, it is the rewrite of all she's gone through.
And now that you have achieved so much here, would you like to tell us something about your next project or your next ideas?
It's a German comedy.
Ah, okay.
Masculinity.
So we are going to see
in Hanover.
In Hanover. Wait. I don't know if I'm so excited for that one. But
I promise you will. It's still me making this film. It's going to be very radical.
So we are going to definitely see more of you. And next time we have more to laugh. This time it was very political and very moving.
It's a political comedy, yeah? Don't take me bad.
Politics in Germany are also sometimes a laugh.
I'm ready to take part.
So it's great that there will be more of you. If you have a chance to see that movie as soon as it comes out, you're definitely gonna hear it here at Movie Break. And this was me, Lida, with Lila Halla. Thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you.
Bye.